You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Helping us solve the mystery, Dustin Clements. The three Florida leaves is the New Orleans municipal flag. There you go. Joey on Twitter says all the draft hats are modeled after state flags or city flags. The three Florida leaves equals the New Orleans flag. So there you go. And then New Era is now tweeting, I guess since people are confused, the state flags of everywhere. Kansas City has the flag. Okay, so there you go. There's a little tag, I guess, that goes with the hat that shows you it's the state or city flag.
It's not that bad, man.
It's terrible.
Which is why Cleveland is brown.
And that's why the New Orleans hat is red, white, blue, and gold. It's the state flag colors. More important things to discuss. Mr. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, covers college football, covers college basketball as well, joins us at Chip_Patterson. Chip, how are you this afternoon?
Man, I'm busy, but I'm good. I hope y'all are well.
Doing well. Spring game for LSU this weekend on Saturday. Joe Brady, we spoke with Brody Miller of the ChesapeakeUnola.com, and he's like, man, he's all involved from what receivers, routes that they run, some of the style of offense and things of that nature, almost kind of like a Coco offensive coordinator. Didn't want to go that far, but he's going to have a lot of input and things of that nature. How much can we deduce from watching spring games, I guess, is my question to you?
Nothing. No. Yeah, man. Nah, listen, coaches, college football coaches especially, are so famously paranoid that the vanilla, very bland game plans will hint at absolutely nothing. And I think that a successful spring game is one that has your fans feeling happy and glad that they enjoyed the day. Like, from a national perspective, here's where you get value. This is about it, Gus. The second and third stringers just trying to find, you know, what that depth looks like when they start to get in there, because those are going to be the guys that maybe with their spring game performance are right. Going to try a little bit harder. They're the ones that are battling for positions, trying to impress the coaches and move up on the depth chart. You might catch a name or two from a particular team where I'll circle it and I'll be like, okay, when fall camp rolls around, let's check back in on that guy. That guy flashed and he might be something. But hey, I'll throw this one out there just as a great lesson. I came away, no joke, and I was not the only one who thought this, I came away from Oklahoma's spring game a season ago, and just based on the spring game performance, I thought Austin Kendall might be as good of an option as Kyler Murray, future Heisman Trophy. absolutely no way from these very set plays, bland playbook, keep all your players healthy approach that are you going to be able to take away much.
I felt like you a long, long time, which is why I gave warning to fans and especially to local media to stop tweeting like it's a real live action game in week 3 of the SEC schedule. Stop it. I mean, it's ridiculous how hard they are, these kids, in those games. Thank you, Chip. Let's move on over to the hardwood, man. The Final Four. It's crazy. We'll get to the teams already. They're going to be in there. But, man, I'm already getting some national folks, and especially, you know, on the ESPN morning shows, they're like, no one really cares other than Michigan State that those teams are in. Is it kind of a dud that Duke and UNC aren't in there?
Only, listen, not because Duke and UNC is brand name. I think that the reason it's a dud is because we came away, remember, they played twice. They played in Chapel Hill without Zion. And North Carolina won that game, and North Carolina looked awesome. Your boy, Coby White, looked awesome. Then they played a classic in the ACC tournament semifinals. Zion is in the lineup. Zion gets the game-winning bucket. Like, classic, absolute classic. I came out of Charlotte being like, I think Duke and North Carolina are the two best teams in the country. Right. So if you want to be disappointed, because you individually believe that those two teams are some of the most exciting to watch in the country and some of the best teams in the country, and you're a little bit disappointed that they're not in the Final Four, then I'll say, yeah, absolutely. In a way, I am as well. But I don't think that the lack of a brand name, I think that's dumbing it down far too much. I don't think that that has any part in in making it any less enticing.
Chip, you know, you take a look at the games leading into that, some magnificent performances, some awesome overtimes. I mean, Purdue's Cameron Edwards, the guy just balled. And when you think of a missed free throw that has to come back the right way, then gets tipped the right way, then gets corralled the right way, and the wherewithal for the guard to then find the big guy just to the right of the paint to then make the shot. It's incredible. Purdue could be in the Final Four. It's just incredible, some of the games. And that wasn't even the only overtime game.
Yeah, so Purdue kind of felt like they were deserving enough of being in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Duke felt like they were deserving enough about being in the Final Four. But I'll tell you what, when you're the Kentucky Wildcats and you miss 8 of 12 free throws coming down the stretch, I can't say the same thing. And Kentucky went to overtime. And if Kentucky gets a few different breaks, Kentucky probably wins that game. But in ways that I felt that, other teams in these classic battles, I mean, Gonzaga, like right there. I mean, Texas Tech was able to put them in the chokehold down the stretch, but they were still in that game. That was one of the best Elite Eight rounds of my lifetime.
Yeah.
2005 is the only other one that stands out to me.
Yeah, it really was incredible to watch. And look, some players that just really stood out, one of them being, obviously, LSU fans saw them in the Sweet 16 game. I mean, Cassius Winston really just stepped up,
yeah,
man. And you and I have talked about this. If you have a point guard that can get to the rim, that can create his own shot, and more importantly, can control a game and just know when and when not to do things, that to me is a huge difference, and why I think Michigan State to me is my favorite to win.
Yeah, I've got Michigan State as my pick right now too. I think whether it's Michigan State Auburn or Michigan State Virginia, kind of depends on the day of the week. I've been picking wrong on Auburn for the entire postseason from the SEC tournament all the way on. So who knows if I've got a good feel on them? The evidence would suggest not. But your analysis, and you should pat yourself on the back for this, it lines up with what Mike Krzyzewski told us after the game. He said the key with Winston is he just knows what kind of play his team needs in the flow of a game. That like when they need a jump shot or a bucket, he knows how to get it. When he needs to facilitate in order to set up his teammates, he knows how to do it. He's just got such an incredible flow. And Tom Izzo also threw this in the LSU game. He said a big key of that second half, LSU – all of a sudden made that way more of a game than it kind of felt like out the gate, where LSU had gotten off to the slow start, then they come charging back. And Tom Izzo said that as LSU was making its charge back and going on some of those runs, he knew that Cassius had a really good feel,
yeah,
for what was going on the floor, and that was the steadying presence. And so if that's your analysis, Gus, you're in line with two Hall of Famers in Izzo and Coach K. So I think you've got a good feel for this thing.
You know, the other thing, too, speaking of the Hall of Famers, one of the reasons that I thought Michigan State, look, you just see the presence that he has, too. I thought in that game you saw both coaches show why they're so good. And Izzo, I almost gave that slight edge to from the play calling there late to when call the timeouts. I mean, you saw both coaches just in that game try to stop runs. It started runs on when to call timeouts. I mean, you have to have that. And you only get through experiences where I think at the end of the day kind of really hurt LSU, right? I mean, they had a ton of talent.
Yeah, totally.
But not knowing that, man, and not having been there with those coaches. Because today's day and age, at least with some of these blue bloods in some of these schools, you are having to win with freshmen. You are having to win with guys that haven't been there. So that's where the coaching really stands out there.
Yeah, and, once things got really, really gritty, one of these teams, like Michigan State, is so mentally tough. They've overcome a ton of injuries. They are not the tallest Michigan State team. They are not the most talented Michigan State team. It's crazy to think that this squad a year ago had two first-round draft picks in Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson, and they didn't even make it to the Sweet 16, right? I mean, this is just a really interesting squad to follow within the tenure of the Michigan State basketball program under Tom Izzo. They made the Final Four six times between 1999 and 2010. Then all of a sudden, what you would not consider a drought at most programs,
yeah,
between 2011 and 2015, you know, only that one Final Four in 15, and no Final Fours since 15. So we just had this, like, one decade of tremendous consistency and success, and now here we are sitting in 2019, a team that doesn't have as many NBA players, surefire NBA players at least. That is the one that's going to have a little bit of a breakthrough. And not only that, how about this? Tom Izzo, after the game, I just doubled my win total against Duke.
It's incredible, really, when you think about it. But look, hey, Texas Tech played some really good basketball. I think that might be a fun game, although I give the edge to Michigan State. Texas Tech, man, what do you see with them when you look at them, Chip?
So, I mean, Jarrett Culver is going to be the guy that ends up shooting up the NBA draft boards, but a lot of it comes back to Chris Beard. They lost 5 out of 6 top scorers from a year ago after making the Elite Eight, and they come right back. They got a couple transfers. A guy named Mooney is their point guard, who I think might be the X factor in that game, because Mooney is going to be tasked with trying to slow down Cassius Winston. He's got good wingspan, but he's only about 6'3", pretty good scorer. He's a transfer from South Dakota. Chris Beard had to go out and try to build a roster that was going to be able to compete at a high level in the same way at the beginning of his head coaching career when he showed up at Arkansas Little Rock and had to put together a team of all transfers, and he ended up leading that group to a conference title and an NCAA tournament appearance. So a lot of it comes down to the Chris Beard effect for me. I'm picking Michigan State in that game, but I would not be surprised at all if Texas Tech wins. I mean, look, at this point, with the absence of a North Carolina or a Duke, you can look at this four and you can imagine any one of them winning. And I think that provides some intrigue in the absence of a blue blood storyline.
On the other game, look, the Auburn Tigers, they won the SEC tournament. They suffer pretty big injury to Okiki, and yet, you know, there they are in the Final Four. Can they beat Virginia?
Yeah, totally. And if Bryce Brown and Jared Harper are talking like they are the best backcourt duo in the entire country, and if they win a national championship, we're going to talk about their postseason run and what they meant to that group, you know, in the NCAA tournament history books forever. Because it has been so impressive how a team that, to me, covering them in the SEC and in the non-con, like, very inconsistent, right? I mean, that Auburn team drove me crazy. Top 10, top 15 going into the season. You lose to NC State. You take a couple bad losses in conference play. But prior to the start of the postseason, and by postseason I mean the beginning of the SEC tournament, I thought that Auburn had been one of the more underachieving teams of the year, which goes back to my earlier statement. I am horrible when talking about Auburn. I get everything wrong because they proved me wrong, and here they are in the Final Four.
Yeah, there they are. So two final things. We'll end up with what you think happens at LSU. But before that, who's in Monday's national championship game?
I mean, I got Michigan State and Virginia, and I think that Michigan State's going to get that win. And Michigan State and Virginia have run into each other, at least in the Tony Bennett era. They've run into each other a few times, and I think this party's got UVA's number a little bit. They are used to playing patient defense for all 30 seconds of the shot clock. They are used to having to execute at a real high level in low possession games. So in a way that Auburn, I think, could be uncomfortable if they get stuck playing at UVA's pace, I think Michigan State's more than happy to play that kind of game. And with Cassius Winston, he's the ultimate X factor. So I got Michigan State over Virginia, or Michigan State over Auburn.
Dude, Cassius was so big late in that game. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. Final question for you. I opened up yesterday's show. I'm like, you want to say you have hope. You want to say LSU basketball's back, but you have no idea what LSU basketball is going to be. That trial starts April 22nd. Let's start with, do you think a decision's made before then? Or you, I guess at this point, you wait till the trial, right?
Yeah, at this point, you wait until the trial, especially with, you know, we're going to have NBA decisions trickling out. I'm sure that we're going to have some transfer decisions trickling out. The assistant coaches will have to make some decisions, you know, about their future and what they want to do. I think that there's too many other headlines and dominoes that could fall before LSU. Like, LSU does not need to be the first voice right now. They have the uncomfortable position of having to watch all of these pieces fall, and then by that time, it may not. By the time all of it does, it may not be as controversial or as difficult a decision as it might be to act immediately.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's the thing that is the hardest to try to judge. I mean, you have to make a decision whether or not you want to go here, you want to go there. You mentioned the assistant coaches. Do I take a chop somewhere? Do I look?
Yeah.
What do I do? I mean, it's so odd. I've never seen anything like this.
Well, and don't forget, what do we have at the Final Four? Every single Division I head coach has tickets to it, at least. And so it does become a little bit of a networking, or at least let's all get on the same page kind
right.
of weekend. So I imagine that after Final Four weekend, both LSU's leadership and some of the other sort of people, figures in the coaching community will be coming out of Minneapolis with a lot more information on what the future looks like at LSU.
That's a very good point. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com. Tell the folks, of course, coming into this Final Four weekend, all the coverage you guys are going to do, man.
What do you mean? When are we not? When do we stop doing the coverage? It's CBS Sports HQ is a 24-hour network. The beat always needs to be fed. I'll be on it 6:10 Eastern Time, 5:10 for y'all tonight on CBS Sports HQ, CBSSportsHQ.com, and I'm sure again several more times through the week. I will not be on the ground. I did Charlotte. I did Columbia. I did D.C., but the Zion tour is done. I'm actually looking forward to showing my face to my family and friends back home for the weekend.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm sure you probably wouldn't mind just sitting there and just catching the games on with the family, man. Thanks, man. Appreciate your time. I know you're busy. I really do appreciate it. Thank you, Chip.
Hey, sounds good. Anytime. Y'all be well.
Yep, for sure. Chip Patterson. Chip_Patterson. Story to follow him over on Twitter. Join the intern. Michigan State. Did you happen to catch the part of the interview where he said I should pat myself on the back?
I heard that loud and clear.
Yeah, I thought you did. I made sure I turned your headset.
I don't know how you heard it sitting all the way in 30th place, though.
I told you. Look, I'm terrible with fantasy football, bracket challenges. So you can bring up my standing all you want. I'm an analyst.
That should have picked better.
I guess it is hard to be an analyst and not know what you're picking, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Let's talk a little baseball. Touch 'em all, Timmy Grubbs, out of the break. It's not over yet for my Cubs, but we'll talk about the start of the Major League Baseball season. Don't forget, a week from today, we're going to be at the Mary Bird Perkins TGMC Golf Classic back over in Ellendale Country Club. It's the signature event that features the area's only professional golf tournament and that much-anticipated Pro-Am Day. We will be broadcasting live on Tuesday, April 9th. You can go out there and play with future PGA stars and, more importantly, support the fight against cancer. If you want team and sponsorship information, go to the website tgmc.com. And when you're there, you'll find out about the Glow Golf Party that's going on. Pretty cool event. Area's top restaurants, along with the live music, a silent auction. We're debating whether we should use a shirt that was worn during the show and an attending class. So join the intern.
See if you can
get a buck for
this.
I will put in a buck. It's for cancer.
I'm going to wind up buying my own shirt.
You're going to wind up buying your own shirt. It's a Glow Ball tournament. It starts off at 6:30 on Friday. So Tuesday and Friday of next week, two events, the Benefit Cancer Research and the Fight Against Cancer. Just go to tgmc.com and get all the info for both events, and we're going to be up there next Tuesday. Coming up next, Tim Grubbs, voice of the Baby Cakes, on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's just a shame, that's all.
It takes special skills to be a Daikin Comfort Pro. Let's listen in as he senses an old inefficient system's imminent demise.
So costly. Tormented by an ongoing battle over the thermostat. Its days are numbered.
You got all that by waving your hand in the air in our living room?
Get to know your local Daikin Comfort Pro.
Call Rescue Wayne's Air and Heat. Rescuing you from the heat and cold and saving you from high prices. Call 985-532-6640.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe's Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Megan here with Vision Communications. Have you checked out Vision's Lightwave TV yet? With Lightwave TV, you get a more modern interactive program guide, better search features, true multi-room DVR, access to new channels, and so much more. Upgrade to Lightwave TV today and pay only $65 a month. That's only $65 a month and includes two set-top boxes and DVR service. Call today for offer details and to learn more about Lightwave TV. A better way to watch. From Vision Communications, bringing you a better vision.
Hi, I'm Brett Chesson, a certified athletic trainer and manager of Terrebonne General's Community Sports Institute. Did you know that TGMC provides certified athletic trainers to high schools in Terrebonne Parish free of charge? The partnership between TGMC and all seven high schools in Terrebonne Parish allows student athletes to receive education, prevention, and care measures at school during practices and games. It's just another way that we're caring for our community. TGMC Community Sports Institute. Just look for the neon yellow. For more information, go to tgmc.com.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Gotta tell you, Marlon Favorite, you picked a football team to follow that has a good heart. You know Randy Gregory, you know who that is, right? Journey intern. Defensive player for your Dallas Cowboys that can't keep from getting suspended. You know what the Cowboys did today?
Suspended him.
No.
They did something good for him.
They gave him an extension. They extended his contract through 2020. They don't know when he's going to play again. In February, the NFL suspended Gregory indefinitely for violating the substance abuse policy in terms of his reinstatement. That's right, he's been suspended before. The Cowboys have remained supportive of Gregory, their second-round pick back in 2015. If you remember back then in 2015, the Saints, a lot of people wanted the Saints to go get Randy Gregory. And instead, yeah, there he is, getting extended through 2020. He might play at some point 2019, you don't know. But his attorney saying thank you for the continued support. It must be one of those things where they know him and they realize he's battling an addiction. And it's tough. And look, in today's day and age where unless you can play, I mean, this isn't like $5. You know, you almost got to give kudos to the Cowboys for doing that to an extent to try to help this guy. His attorney says the simple yet profound phrase, press on carries him as he does what he must do for himself, his daughter, and his family and the Cowboys. So. It was set to be a restricted free agent after this season. And they gave him a little money. So. Tim Grubbs, voice of your New Orleans Baby Cakes. Getting set to get ready Thursday, huh? Tim, opening day.
Yeah, Gus. I'm sitting here watching a workout as we speak. Sitting in the third row.
Nice.
Watching batting practice and watching the team take infield and pitcher fielding practice, so this is exciting.
You know, if do they need some guys to hit a little BP or you know, like little ground balls or you know, I could go field as well. I mean, I'll be done here in about 40 minutes if you.
Well, come on over. We've got some guys out there that all get some early work in, so I'm sure they can be in for a good laugh.
Well, look, I can't do much worse. No, actually, I saw Don Mattingly yesterday a little upset with some of the calls that went against his Marlins. And, man, it's tough right now over there for Miami. And, I mean, look, you look at the Marlins. I saw a picture on opening day that had like 30 people.
Yeah, it's got to be tough, difficult. I mean, they need every break they can. The opening day did not look great down there. But, you know, it's a work in progress. And I think, you know, obviously, Miami's an event town, you know, and they're one of those places that, you know, until, you know, the Heat didn't sell out until LeBron got there, you know, even though they had a lot of success with Dwayne Wade. So, I don't know. I mean, obviously, they need every break they can to win ball games. They're a young team developing.
When you look at your cakes, obviously, you're getting a chance to kind of look at some of these guys right now and getting, you know, some work in. What kind of team you think they can expect this season?
You know what? Our opening day roster is as talented as we've had here in a long time. I mean, there's a lot of good guys out there. And some of the guys, we've got multiple guys that came here in the Christian Yelich trade from the Brewers that have made their way here to AAA. So, you know, the thing is the Miami Marlins don't have a ton of depth. So when they reach down, they're going to pull from us. And then where do they replace those guys when they come to us? That's always what depicts what's going to happen, you know, with your AAA club.
So when you take a look at the start of this season, what are, I guess, some of the things for the Cake fans to kind of pay attention to and then make their way out to the ballpark this week?
Well, there's a couple of names. I mean, Zach Gallen's a guy that we had here last year. He's going to be the opening day starter. You know, he was an all-star last year, came very close to making the Miami Marlins this spring. So, I mean, he's a guy that come on out and see him while you can, because I don't think come August he'll be here. But Nick Neidert, a guy that we got in the trade for D. Gordon from the Seattle Mariners organization. I think he's going to be our number two starter. Position players-wise, Eason Diaz is a second baseman we got in the Christian Yelich trade. Monty Harrison, an outfielder, pure talent. This guy, I just heard Keith Johnson, our manager, rave about him a minute ago about how gifted he is as an athlete. His brother, Shaquille Harrison, is a player for the Chicago Bulls. So, I mean, he's a multi-sport talent that's just a little raw that needs to, you know, needs to get some of that baseball skills refined, cut back on his strikeouts. But I'm excited to see him, and he's one of the guys that's definitely looking forward to seeing out there on the field come Thursday night.
Opening night, of course, is Thursday, and then Sunday, get to have the kids run the bases. Might have Carver come out there and see if he can outrun me, or at least Boudreaux around the bases there as well. Then you're at Iowa. I'm interested if there's any hope for helping the bullpen, because that's one of my early storylines as we transition to Major League talk here. The Cubs are a steaming pile of hot garbage when it comes to the pen. They blew a series in Texas, and yesterday, well, six errors to go along with bad pitching. How about that? That's a good start, Tim.
You know, I turned on ESPN last night.
You're trying not to laugh. Listen to him. I can hear it in your voice.
I almost texted you, and I was like, you know what? It's the first week of the season. I'm not going to do that to you. Right out of the chute, you know, rip on your beloved Chicago Cubs. This just a couple hours after the fact that the Pirates blew a 4-0 lead in the seventh inning. So to both the teams that we dreadedly hate, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Brewers are out to a 4-1 start of the season. Look, you don't want to overreact to a lot of the starts here as well. But they need help in the pen. I mean, the Cubs as well. So, look, it is what it is. I'll be keeping an eye on that as well. Grass Dodgers have been just playing, I guess, wiffle ball with the baseball. I mean, just home runs everywhere. That's really where they're getting most of their runs from, is the long ball. They lose last night, though, to be 3-2. That West sort of looks like a division that probably will go to the last month of the season, you think?
It very could. You know, I mean, it's early. I mean, it's hard to push any panic buttons for any team here in the first week of the season. But, yeah, I think it could come all the way down to that final month of September. And, of course, there's still a lot of trades, you know, and injuries and player moves that we'll have between now and then.
When you look at over in the East, obviously, look, I got a chance to see the Braves last night. There was a lot of hope going into it. That was just their first win of the season. Again, I know it's early. I get it. Phillies at the Nationals tonight. Bryce Harper's already spoken to the media over there. I'm assuming that reaction and reception. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's must-see TV tonight to turn on, the, just to hear his first at-bat. When they introduce Bryce Harper at Nationals Park tonight, can we hear the boos all the way here in New Orleans? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's quite possible. I think there's going to be some fire in that here tonight. It's certainly going to be interesting to hear how loud it is. Even though he had a great career with the Nats, I don't think they'll applaud him one bit. I don't think there'll be anybody in there cheering him.
No, you don't think so. And he probably won't care being $300 million richer.
No, I don't think he will.
Not at all. They're 3-0, by the way, to start the season. Marlins 2-3, despite that loss last night. When you look over the American League, Mariners are 6-1. Is it too early to say that's a surprise, or you want to go with it still too early?
I think it's too early. Seattle hung in there for a while last year, though. Let's not forget, they were, you and I were talking around the trade deadline last year. When they didn't make any moves, they were the second wild card team. And then Oakland came on strong in the final 2 months of the season and caught them. So I don't think they're a team that's a bad team, but I think 6-1's a little bit of mirage here in the first week.
Yeah, I agree. When you take a look at, let's see where it goes from it. Over in the Central, it looks like everybody has two wins there other than the White Sox. So, Joey, no distance going out of there. And in the East, should we be surprised? The Boston Red Sox are 1-4, and the Tampa Bay Rays are 4-1.
Well, don't forget, Tampa won 90 games last year. They're not a team that, they were quietly won 90 games. Probably one of the, teams that is a lot better than people think. And then obviously the Yankees are really beat up. Half their lineup's on the disabled list, or now I should say the injured list. Got to correct the new term that we use in baseball. And the Red Sox are just, obviously, I'm sure people in Boston, I'm sure sports radio right now is clamoring for them to sign Kimbrel and probably to go sign Dallas Keuchel. They're probably pushing the panic button up there. But I don't think there's really much concern here in the first week of the season. There's plenty of time to overcome that.
So you don't think I should be concerned at all about my Cubs yet?
Not yet. But.
Yeah, okay, there we go. At least you gave me, a but. That'll work.
There's certainly a couple of things that are certain, a couple of things you're watching them.
Oh, I'm watching.
You're like, well, doesn't look too good right now.
I'm watching. Hey, 5 games to start the season over at the Shrine on Airline, the New Orleans Baby Kings. Jordan, are you going to wear your Baby Kings jersey that you got a couple weeks ago?
Oh, absolutely.
Nice. You're ready to go? Still waiting for the call, Tim. Whenever you and Cookie want to make it happen, man. I mean, I'm ready. I'm ready. Just let me know.
I think we should line you up when the Cubs are here.
Ooh,
so,
I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, how do I do that, though? Do I go to the mound wearing my Cubs jersey?
Oh, I don't think you do that. And you certainly don't have
I'll be the hero.
Like Michael Wilbon.
Right. Could you imagine? I get booed. I mean, have you ever, has the first pitch person ever been booed before?
Not that I can wear, not actually, that I can think of.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Tim, if I show up in full Cub gear, Cub hat, Cub jersey to throw out the first pitch, I mean, I might have listened to boo.
Well, I will say this. If anything's like the past few years and you've been here when Schwarber played and Chris Bryant played and Javi Baez.
Right. I'm actually get cheered. You're right.
60% of the people in the building are rooting for the Cubs.
So I might get cheered. You're right. That's going to be a game time decision, Tim. I'm going to be a little, don't tell Cookie that though. In the meantime, I'll think about it. It might be all a little secret. Maybe I'll do like Sean Payton did with the Roger Goodell's a clown shirt. Maybe I'll just have a Cubs shirt underneath enough that you can see it, but not go out there and wear it.
Absolutely. I didn't know anything about this, even though we're saying.
No, nope, didn't know. Tim, did you know? Didn't know anything. At Mr. Tim Grubbs is the way to follow him on Twitter. The season starts for my friend on Thursday. Get out there to the Shrine Airline. Catch yourself a little baseball. We'll be talking throughout the rest of the season. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Gus. It's Thursday and fireworks on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to it.
There you go. Thank you, bud. I'm ready. I think I'm totally wearing a Cubs. I don't want to get them in trouble, though. Oh, well. I got to do it.
You're ridiculous.
Why?
I'm just going to be the hero.
Let's find out if I should or not. We'll ask the Graph, a.k.a. my conscience, the voice of the Tulane Green Wave, is up next after this break. Tulane UNO, 6:30, LSU taking on Grambling. They're going to be wearing the old throwback unis today. Nichols, they're in action as well. As the Colonels had a nice weekend sweeping Lamar to improve the 16-13 host Southern tonight. We'll talk to Brian Johnson next week. He's out of town. Quick break. We come back. The voice of the Green Wave. Todd Graffanini next on ESPN New Orleans.
Napa know-how.
It's Love Your Car Month at Napa. And to show your car the love, get a Napa bucket for $2.99 and save 20% on almost everything you can fit inside, like car wash, car wax, and tire shine. So save some cash and look good doing it by getting 20% off with the Napa bucket. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, exclusions apply. Minimum three items may not be combined with other offers. Offer ends 4/30/19.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hi, this is Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, inviting you to take a Louisiana staycation. Do you know the story of the Baroness de Pontalva? Learn how she helped design Jackson Square and the impact her life had on the French Quarter at the Cabildo now. You have a sports fan in the family? The Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in Natchitoches is just a ticket. One of nine museums that tell thousands of stories to feed your soul. Plan your family staycation at one of our great museums in Louisiana at louisianatravel.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
The perfect day, hopefully nice evening as well for a little baseball here in New Orleans. April 2nd. Todd Graffanini, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. Todd, would you like one of the brand new NFL Draft Tri-Fleur-de-Lis caps?
No, Gus, I'm not a cap guy.
Okay, just making sure I can hear in the tone of your voice. You're probably blaming me for the Dodgers' loss yesterday after I text you that it's basically BP after back-to-back
home
runs.
You know it, Gus.
See, I knew it.
You know it.
I knew it.
Don't ever, ever text me during a Dodger game. Ever.
I knew it. I had a feeling when I sent the second
they
text.
They were winning right up until you texted me.
2-0. They were fantastic. Back-to-back
Yeah, well, yeah, that didn't last.
Does it throw in the Pelicans games also?
Yeah. No, I'm being dead serious. Like, I text him and I never heard back, and I haven't heard from him this morning. It took me like five times to get him to come on today.
You're bad luck.
And he wouldn't do it. So I kind of figured. So I'm apologizing. I'm
sorry. What was the score last night, Gus?
It was 2-0.
No, what was the final?
4-2 Giants.
Exactly.
Didn't score again. Well, I mean, look, I mean, my team had six errors, you know.
Your team sucks, Gus.
You know what? I'm jumping the bandwagon with this Cubs thing.
Matter of fact, I've watched high school games that with better defense than your team played last night. You know how hard it is to commit six errors in a Major League Baseball game? That takes work.
I kind of failed to mention that to Tim Grubbs. A quick question.
No, I'll mention it for you.
Well, quick question, because I'm going to throw out a first pitch at some point this season, and he thinks I should do it when Iowa's in town. Should I wear the Cubs jersey to throw out a first pitch?
I mean, if you want to hex the Cubs for the rest of the year, sure, go ahead.
I never thought about that. Never mind. I guess I can't do that. Let's talk about something that actually is of meaning. Tulane and UNL, we had Manny, voice of the Privateers, on a little bit earlier to talk about the Privateers and the Pelicans Cup. Before we get to tonight's action in the next three games you're going to play with them, how big was the series win at Cincinnati? I know Tulane got off to a nice start this season. You and I have talked about it on the air, about getting some nice wins. But to start conference play on the road when Mother Nature throws her wrench into things, how big was that for them?
Well, it was good, Gus, you know, and look, I'm a little greedy. I really would have hoped that Tulane could have completed it. But, you know, like we talked about last night on Coach Dewis' radio show, it's hard to get upset when you go on the road and win two of three in conference play. Because if you win series each and every weekend, you're going to contend for the regular season championship. So in that sense, it was a good weekend. But when you win the first two, you really want to finish it off. Mm-hmm. And we weren't able to finish it off on Sunday, and you're right. Look, conditions played a big factor. We wound up playing a doubleheader on Friday, which doesn't happen very often because you usually play doubleheaders on Saturday. But it was actually the opposite. We played a doubleheader on Friday. The weather in Cincinnati was just god-awful on Saturday. So we swept the doubleheader Friday, had a very rare Saturday off. And then Sunday we basically played in an igloo. It was bitterly cold up there. And unfortunately, and I'm not just saying this, Coach Jewett mentioned this on his show last night, the weather affected us for the first four innings. There was no question about it. Cincinnati was ready to play in it. We were not. And when we finally figured it out, I'm not saying it was too late, but you got down 7-1, chipped away, made it 7-6, but fell a run short. And look, you just, again, you win two out of three. Now, if you win two out of three and you win Friday and lose Saturday and win Sunday, it feels a whole lot better than winning the first two and dropping the last game. But the results are still the same. So I guess, you know, we're kind of splitting hairs here, but we would have liked to have completed the sweep, but you still won the series.
Todd Graffinini, voice of the Tulane Green Wave. We're talking about the upcoming matchup with UNO. One final question on that series win. We've talked about this. I love the tradition of slapping the wall, and I think it's just a nice little reward for somebody and starting a tradition of just, hey, acknowledging that person really stepped up and was a big part of the win. Am I wrong in kind of trying to remember the 19 wins here? It's almost a different player, a game, and I know you want to try to do that, but my point being, it's not really dependent on one or two players. Tulane's gotten to almost 20 wins by collective.
Gus, that's a great observation, and you're exactly right. This has been one of the characteristics of this team. Another guy has been doing it each and every day, if it's been at the plate or on the mound. So, yes, you're exactly right. I'm trying to recall the same guy doing it twice, and I'm having a hard time doing it. Mm-hmm. So, yes, and it's been a great after-win tradition. you know, it's funny because when we go on the road, obviously, you don't have that home dugout wall to slap the sticker on, so our assistants kind of take the brunt, or actually it's been Travis Jewett as well at times. They're taking the sticker right in the chest. And then when we get home, they'll kind of change it to the dugout wall. So, yeah, it's been good. And, of course, on Friday, you had a doubleheader sweep. So you had a couple of guys slapping the stickers. I know I got a couple of guys out of the bullpen got the job done on Saturday as well. So or on Friday as well. So, yeah, no, it's been a tremendous year when you're talking about. You've had your go-to guys, obviously Cody Hosey and Frankie Neiman and Trevor Jensen have done a great job all year at the plate, but you're seeing now time and time again different guys kind of hold the torch, either driving runs in or on the mound. So it's been very, very good.
All right, let's wrap up with obviously game one of the three games against UNO for the Pelicans Cup. Last year they had it. I already showed a tweet. It's in-house. I talked to Manny about this. I called it the renewed rivalry. I mean, how does Tulane view this matchup with UNO over there in the lakefront?
It's always big, Gus. I mean, it always is. And, you know, you're playing them three times a year, so there's a big-time familiarity with them. A lot of guys know each other on the other team as far as the local ties. So it's always a big game, Gus. And I say this, it's your typical throw out the record type of game. You know, it doesn't matter who's playing great. It doesn't matter who's not playing so great. It doesn't matter. It's going down to the wire. It always has. It always will be. And, you know, you look at UNO's record, 14-13. They might as well be 27-0 tonight because they're going to play like it. They're going to play like it. I've seen it too many times. So if Tulane doesn't go in there tonight and take this team seriously, and I know they will, it's going to be very, very difficult. It's going to be a difficult game regardless, Gus, mm-hmm. because it's a tough place to play at Maytree Field out on the lakefront. They're 9-5 is UNO this year out there at home. So it's going to be tough. And Krishna Raj is going to have to throw strikes. If he doesn't throw strikes, you're not giving yourself as good a chance as you would hope. So, and I think we've seen Gus this year. Tulane is 19-9, and you could honestly say in 7 of the 9 losses this season, it's been because our pitchers have not thrown the ball consistently over the plate. We've given up too many freebies. When we have thrown strikes, Gus, as a staff, we win. It's the bottom line. Our hitters have done a really, really good job for the most mm-hmm. part from the beginning of the season to where we are right now. And when the pitchers give too much, be it walks, hit by pitches, we've struggled. When they've thrown strikes, we've won. I hate to put it as bluntly as that, but that's pretty much it. If our pitchers throw strikes today, we're going to give ourselves a very good chance to win this ball game.
And Todd, something we will follow throughout the rest of the season. Now that we're in the month of April, you still got some baseball to be played, but 21-6 overall is ECU, 6-0 in conference play. You got 17 wins by UConn. Tulane's the second most wins in the conference. And we'll talk about this more throughout the season, but you said may not have a lot of bids coming out of this. Every win, these midweek games are big. They're just as big as the weekends, I think, from here on out for Tulane.
I agree 100%. And, you know, last week was our first midweek loss against ULL at 7-6 walk-off for the Cage. And so we've done well in the midweek. That's got to continue. You mentioned those RPI games and those tough league games are coming up. So there's still a lot of opportunities to boost the resume for the postseason, but you've got to keep taking care of business on the midweek game.
Thank you so much for your time, bud. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Gus. Don't text me anymore. Bye.
There he goes, Ty Graffiniti at NT Graph. We'll be back to wrap up the show when we return. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Jeremy speaks with some of his favorite guests.
The film was pretty good, but it didn't rise up to the best docs. It didn't make me cry. You took the short route on a lot of the production.
Whenever boxing has an opportunity to shoot itself in the foot in terms of regaining its resonance with your average sports fan, it invariably shoots itself in the foot. And this is a real opportunity.
Download this and every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
It takes more than hard work to make it to the pros. It takes smarts. The kind of smarts that can read a defense and pick it apart. And look, hiring's no different. You need smarts to find the right people. But you don't need to spend years honing your game. You just need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. Try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/wingo. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WINGO. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Ready to make your commute more entertaining, more interesting, even more productive? Then try 100% ad-free listening on Audible. Each month, you'll get 2 Audible Originals, exclusive titles you can't find anywhere else, plus a credit good for any audiobook and unlimited access to exclusive fitness and wellness programs, all with our commitment-free guarantee. The most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories. Go to audible.com today to start your free 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is on us.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Did you see the John Calipari lifetime deal he agreed to with Kentucky, Jordan the intern? Offered him a lifetime contract. He swears it had nothing to do with UCLA, apparently, reportedly, per USA Today, offering him a similar deal. approximately $48 million over 6 years they offered. And UK came in with 9.2 annually, worth close to $50 million over 6 years. By the way, you just gotten an extension. Remember, there was talk that the Pelicans go after Jay Hargrave, famously. Whatever it takes, go get him. Well, Calipari in 2017 signed an extension that runs through 2024. It pays him $8 million annually, excluding bonuses and apparel contracts. That's right. He gets paid, you know, if you go to the tournament, Nike pays him, little apparel contracts. My man's making bank. By the way, if you do, your New Orleans Pelicans want to, not that you would now that you don't have no Rondo, no Boogie, no AD, the all Kentucky team. That's why all that talk was. But if you want to, you can. You can buy him out. There is a buyout. Okay? You ready for the buyout?
Give it to me.
$25 million. So you just, all you got to do is just hand Kentucky a check for $25 million on top of that new contract that you want to give to Calipari. That's it. That's all you got to do. So there you go. It is the highest buyout of all NCAA Division I coaches. Lifetime contract. All right, Jordan, give me what you wanted to give me a little bit ago.
Oh, on this?
Yeah.
Dogs 24/7 report.
Dogs.
LSU Tigers are November's playoff dark horse.
Playoff dark horse. I don't think anybody expected when the first playoff rankings came out that LSU would be in there, right, in the top four. They were. So, I can't disagree that they shouldn't be a team to keep an eye on, right? That Texas game is going to be fun. At the Longhorns, you want to go?
Seriously?
Oh, the look on your face right now was fantastic. Of course not. I'm not serious. Joey, that was a shame. I shouldn't have done that. I mean, his head flipped left so quickly. Eyes expanded, grin from ear to ear. Saw your pearly whites. You were so happy.
Was.
You'd enjoy Austin. I'll just leave it at that. The game would be fun, too, but you would enjoy Austin. This is interesting. Did you see over the weekend the game at Minnesota with the Golden State Warriors? You know what I'm talking about? They lost in overtime.
Curry?
Okay, yes. This was game in which the Warriors. So what happens is a play takes place. They taunt.
Durant hits a three, and they he was fouled on the play.
Right.
And they called it off.
Exactly. So then right after that, they inbounded to give it back. Okay, Curry knocks down a three in the corner. He, Draymond Green, and Kevin Durant then pretty much run past that official and point at him and do dances and taunt him.
Looked like Curry was doing some Irish.
Right, like a little Irish jig or something, yeah. Long story short, like 0.5 left in the game, they call a foul on Kevin Durant that had no business being a foul call. It was revenge. So the NBA came back today and fined for Draymond Green $35,000 for making statements on social media, fined Steph Curry $25,000 for his actions and public statements, and then Kevin Durant $15,000 for public criticism of the officials as well. So there you go. Warriors lost that game 131-130 at the Target Center back on March 29th. So you cannot do no Irish jig or taunting, and it's more for the comments that you made. Can't do it. Can't do it. By the way, tomorrow we'll talk about, is Roger Goodell and Sean Payton buddies all of a sudden? Uh-huh.
Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer.
Hey, look, you and I have been talking about this, about the turning of Sean Payton here. Matt Moscone after further reviews up next on ESPN New Orleans.